No way, Jose. Other than just a good.
The following footage proves beyond any doubt that the tanks intentionally set the house on fire. It proves that the Branch Davidians were murdered. You can see that this tank has a gas jet on the front that shoots fire. You can also see the fire quite plainly. The tank goes into the house twice, and each time as it backs out, the fire at the gas jet is plainly visible.
We must all do more to recognize and look for the early warning signals that deeply troubled young people send.
Good morning, good morning. Welcome to another morning stream. We are here in a sunny Florida. It is early as shit. Well, it's only like 9:30. It feels early. I've had a rough week. Let me know. Make sure you guys for the stream. Let me know you guys hear me. Everything seemed to clear at the beginning here. Good morning, Jose. Well, good morning. Oh my God, Namrock. Someone says, "Where the fuck is Namrock?" I don't know. I don't know why we're talking about Namrock. I haven't seen Namrock. I don't know. Did he? Weird. Okay. All right. I don't know. All right, guys. Well, I am back today. I have some news for you guys today. I think in the last stream, we probably talked a little bit about Brogrove and how that was supposed to happen. That did happen. That happened over the weekend. I unfortunately did not attend. I was really bummed about that. Cue the Tower Gang jokes about why I didn't attend or whatever, because I do have a reputation of not showing up to these. Although, I feel like it's only been like one or two events I haven't shown up to. So, I don't know. I think it might be a little bit blown out of proportion, just kind of being a running Tower Gang joke, but I can't recall. I know I missed the Georgia thing, the Georgia, LP Georgia Tower Gang thing we did, but I don't recall anything else I missed, but whatever. The Georgia one, it was like I had a, what happened there was, if I recall correctly, it was so long ago, was I had a new litter of kittens, and they had to be bottle fed, and or tube fed, and that's like way too much for just one person to handle, so I kind of had to stay and help my wife, and I think she had work, and so it's like, it really was an awful time for me to leave, and it's not something we can plan for too well, because you never know when a litter, a little inside baseball for cat breeding, most cat litters, completely fine, but every now and then you get one where it's like, these motherfuckers need to be tube fed or bottle fed or whatever, and they take. And at that point, you're talking, especially if they're like really, really little, you're talking about waking up every 2-3 hours to feed them, and it sucks for like a couple weeks, and then as they get older, they can take their stomach and hold more, and they can go longer. But this one, this weekend, literally, I had everything I had set up. I had on my dining room table, I had all my stuff ready to go, had my mic, like everything, and I went to go get the kids from school, came back, the plan was come home, drop kids off, say bye to wife, kiss her, get out of there, like that was like grab my shit, go, like everything was ready to go. I was on track to actually be a little bit early. I was going to be early to the first event, the first day of Brogrove. And then as soon as I walked the door, I heard my wife like yakking, which I don't know I don't remember to what extent I've told you guys stuff to which I haven't, because I usually kind of keep, I'm not really like someone who shares a lot of personal stuff because it's just not me. But like a week ago, my wife was having epileptic fits, and they were weirdly this time around, she was having far more nausea than normal. So like as soon as I heard the yakking sound, I was like, oh shit, like here we go again. Like last week, my wife had was in the hospital twice and had full-on grand mal seizures, which is like the full deal. And you guys are getting a little bit of a tutorial on seizures today. There's like grand mal is like what most people think of when they think of seizures. It's like the full-on, like, holy shit, like they're fucking twitching and everything. You got focals, which are the little itty bitty ones. That's like the other side of the spectrum, essentially, of like seizures, which is like literally like people just kind of like sometimes there's different versions of it, but like an almost like a they're like blank out for a minute or something, or they're just kind of like not there. Like it's almost like their brain spaces and not like a brain fart type thing. More than that, I don't know how to explain it better than that. And then you have partials, which like with a grand mal, like you pretty much lose your consciousness. Like so you're like out. Whereas a partial, you will, it's partial. Like, you literally have, probably have, like, partial consciousness, essentially. I mean, we've dealt with epilepsy for years now. My wife's had it. And usually it's not, like, full-on grand mal, so it's not, like, awful. I mean, sometimes it is. And even then with the grand mals, there's different variations of how bad those are. Most time my wife would have a grand mal, she'd have, like, one twitch out a little bit, you know, for a minute or two. And then, like, then we'd get her to bed, she'd fall asleep, and she'd be fine by like, you know, within an hour or two, but usually just sleep it off till the next day. They also have the post-ictal period where they're very, very out of it, like not entirely there, or you know, sometimes not there at all. I've literally had my wife, I know one time years ago, she had a seizure while we were driving somewhere, I believe it was to our in-laws' house. So I had to pull over just to be like, sure, like, hey, you know, she's safe, you know, pull over, that way I can tend to her. She seized and then, you know, kind of like, okay. And then the seizure was over and then she went to post-ictal period and then immediately was insistent on fucking like leaving the car. And like, then was on the side of the road and was like, I don't know you. And I'm like, babe, come on, let's get in the car. Like we're literally hanging out near a road. And she's just like, I don't know you. And I'm like trying to like almost grab this woman and put her in a car. So like from anybody passing by, it looks like I'm like kidnapping a woman or beating my wife on the side of the road or something crazy. but that's what I have to deal with. That's my spice of life. But yes, essentially I came in literally as I was about to go Bro Grove and my wife was experiencing what looked like, I believe was probably having like partial. She was still with it. Although we weren't even sure if it was a seizure, we thought maybe she was having nausea or something. Didn't take too long, but we were like concerned that she could have a grand mal seizure. So we ended up having to go to the hospital. And then she was there. We went, this was like Friday. We ended up going until like later because she has like Valium. So we kind of got her stabilized in that. But then she ran out of it. And then we ended up going to the hospital later. And this was Friday night. It was like about Friday, super duper late Friday night. We ended up going to the hospital and just got back yesterday. So sorry, this also threw off for those out there who, you know, I had said I was supposed to have somebody else on, I think last stream, that I, a lot of different things fell through because I was planning, I had already had a podcast scheduled on Sunday, on Monday. So like, yeah, fucking those I had to cancel/reschedule. So I'm going to basically this week probably not have a whole lot produced so far as normal No Way Jose episodes. I'm still planning on doing an RA Dead tonight and then worst case scenario. My co-host can sit in, or not my co-host, but my producer can sit in as a co-host if worse comes to worse, but I should be able to come tonight. I don't see why not. But essentially I have like Already Dead, Tower Gang, and then I don't have any No Way Jose episodes for you guys this week. Sorry. I normally try to keep one for you guys, so that we consistently at least once a week, but my shit got all fucked. Sorry guys. It is what it is. I'll get back on track. But this, with her going to the hospital and this being like 2 weeks in a row, this being an issue, me and my wife talked about it, and I think I need to like essentially keep an eye on my wife for the next couple weeks. So I'm going to part-time for temporarily in my real job, which isn't ideal because we're losing money, but it is what it is. I kind of have to keep an eye on my wife. And between me and my wife, if one of us has to quit our job, it makes more sense for me to do it or quit or pull back or whatever. It makes way more sense for me to do it. For those who haven't followed me for a long time, you'll know that a handful of years ago, I don't remember, was it 2020, 2021? I got out of active duty. That was a significant pay cut from there, but and you could say I was 11 years doing that. So that was like at the point where you would call it a career. Although I kind of got disillusioned and I was like, this is not a career I'm proud of, nor is it something I want to stick out another 9 years for to collect a pension. So I left that, and then I just kind of just got a job. And then at that point, my kids are older too, so like I have a about to be 15-year-old and a 12-year-old, so they're older. So I was like, I am not really at a point in my life where I was looking to like take on a new career. I guess you could say, I mean, if this podcasting thing takes off, that'd be cool. But I mean, I'd be kind of, I've never really like put all my eggs in that basket of like, this is going to take off and be a career. Like if you once you understand the money and how it breaks down in podcasting, like if you're really like banking on that, like I'm going to be able to support my family with podcasting entirely, you're a little bit out of your mind. Like luckily I kind of diversify stuff. You guys have heard like the cat breeding and stuff. So it's stuff like this that allows me to be able, you know, between you guys that support and things like other ventures I do, like the cat breeding, that allows me to be a little bit more flexible so that like I can actually cut back from work if I absolutely have to. But point being is I don't have a career right now. I just have a job. I just, you know, kind of jobbing it. And I took this time with my kids being older to be like, I'm not gonna like take the time to try to, you know, invest all this time and effort into starting a full on career, whatever it would be. I don't even know what I'd want to do. I could use my GI Bill and go back to school, whatever. But at this point in time, while my kids are at this age, it's an important time for me. I'm just gonna job it and kind of, you know, keep an eye on them. My wife has her career. And yeah, like I said, my youngest is 12, so I have like 6 more years, roughly. I mean, obviously, I'm not kicking her out at 18, but at that point, then I'll be like in a better spot to be like, and I have my kids really young, so I will still be in my like mid to late 30s around this time. So it's like, I can still like, I can go get a career at that point. Like I can go do something. I can do whatever. I don't know. I mean, who knows? Maybe the podcast will take off by that time, and this will be, you know, I'll be making shitload of money on that, and I can just fucking stream all day. That'd be cool. Whatever, stream and breed kitties. That'd be dope. But either way, point being is that's why I'm dialing back. My wife's going to keep working. So I've gone down to part-time. So I'm only working a couple days a week now. And this way I'm kind of like chauffeuring my wife back and like to and from work and stuff. And also just going to be at home more often so I can keep an eye on her if there's any issues, until at the very least we can make sure that her seizures are all right. And she's, you know, that she's stable, because we went a long period of time where, you know, she had controlled seizures with her meds she's on now. So they shuffled the meds around, so we get to see how this works. We don't know why she's having breakthroughs. I mean, it could be stress. I don't know. I mean, there's a lot of shit going on in our life and just in general. Like, we had, like, the hurricane and stuff like that. But point being, what this leads to, how this really concerns you guys, aside from me just, you know, griping and, you know, dumping all my issues on you guys, how this applies to you guys. With me cutting back to part-time now, I'm going to pick up the slack elsewhere. And one of the ways in which I can do that is with you guys. So for those who, you know, kind of have a good grasp on what kind of my schedule is, my output here, roughly, I generally try to do, I do one Already Dead a week, which is my, for those, you guys know, that's my live stream show, my live call-in show with Austin Picard, which we put out on both of our platforms. So that's our, and that's like our parapolitics, conspiracy, whatever show. So that I do that every week. So I'm still putting out one of those a week. I also do Tower Gang on Wednesdays. And so I put that, so I have Tuesdays at 9:30. I have Already Dead. Wednesdays at 9. I have, at 9:11. I have Tower Gang. And then Thursdays is usually when I try to do like a normal No Way Jose episode, which is going to typically be some sort of topic oriented thing. That's the stuff I usually put behind the paywall for a week. It comes out later. So that's what I normally do. And I've been putting out recently, because I told you guys the nature of like what I do, like my job, like I do every now and then, you know, there's just not work on the schedule. So it's like, whatever, I don't have work that day. And that usually tends to be, it depends on the time of the year, you know, kind of like, you know, how the schedule is generally, but like we have times of the year where it's booked and I'm like working weekends all the times too. I'm working like crazy. And then we have times of the year where it's like, I'm working like 3 days a week or something, like really. So like it depends on the time of year. But generally speaking, like what I've been doing lately is about, I don't know, once a week to once every other week, I've been doing these morning streams like I'm doing right now for you guys. And these are more chill. Just me. This is more of an opportunity for audience engagement with you guys. I'm still like on the edge of whether I even want to put these out on the podcatchers, because I feel bad, because I feel like they're more just like kind of stream of consciousness talking to you guys. It may not make as much sense in an audio platform. I mean, you guys can let me know if I'm wrong. I would like to hear your feedback, because I can stop putting these out on the podcatchers and just have them stream to Rumble and YouTube. But either way, I've been doing like one a week to one every other week of these. Now I'm going to go to three a week or probably more. That's what it's looking like. Because that's where I can squeeze in more time now that I'm going to be home more often. So, I mean, I don't really have any other afternoons I can really squeeze in more. Like, you know, so it's still the same so far as my other stuff. But the morning streams, expect far more of those. So, but with that, I mean, if you guys, like I said, mentioned earlier, this is like likely and somewhat to some extent, hopefully, I say hopefully sort of, because there's two ways this plays out. In a certain sense, I would like this to be permanent. In a certain sense, I would not. So let me explain this to you. As I said, we're kind of waiting to see how my wife's seizures are. So it's like, if this continues forever, like, then sure, I will probably be doing this forever, or for at least, you know, a fairly extended period of time. But likely what will happen is we'll probably find some sort of medication, you know, whatever, or whatever the fuck, and get it so where she's under control and we're good again. Either way, I hope we get to a point where we get under control. That'd be great. And if once we do that, you know, I will likely then just go back to normal full-time work. That way we can, you know, kind of get more money, essentially. Now, if you guys are enjoying this, you know, throughout this, then just keep in mind, you know, with these next few weeks or however long it is, it'll probably be at least like a month like this. I would assume, because you know, that's probably like, even if she is like fine from this point on, I would need like probably a few weeks before like, all right, we're good. I can go back to normal work. But point being is you're probably going to get about a month of this. Now, if you guys really, 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 really like this, if you want to keep seeing more of it, I mean, I don't want to come off like I'm begging for money, but really the only way that works is if you guys give me money. Like it is, it's as simple as I have bills to pay. I have things I got to do. We're kind of a little bit at like going at a deficit here, although we have other ways to make it work, you know, for this temporary period of time. But you know, essentially once I'm able to go full time, I kind of have to, unless you guys make it so I don't have to. If you don't, it's fine. I mean, I'm not like upset. It's whatever. I'm just letting you guys know if you like this, because people, you know, I've heard a lot of people say they like the morning streams. They want to get more of them, whatever. Just letting you guys know, it is what it is. But otherwise, I'm gonna keep sticking around. I'm gonna keep being here. It may go back to once a week to once every other week here soon, or whenever I'm able to squeeze them in, like it was before. But right now, you're getting three, maybe even more a week. We can even maybe, if you guys wanna pitch in and give me opinions on times that works for you. I might even be able to get like a static time. It's just that like I figure just whenever I'm able to kind of get things set up, I can't really plan my mornings perfectly. And it's easier. It's kind of easier to, you know, just kind of do it whenever I'm able to. It's hard to plan it. You never know what things I have to do elsewhere. And this is I'm not doing guests on these unless it's like I talked to Tyler Yankee, the producer for Tower Gang. I talked to him yesterday and I was kind of like, hey, I mean, it seems like he might be able to do morning stuff. So every now and then, maybe I'll have a guest. But generally speaking, it's just me popping in whenever I'm able to in the mornings and doing a kind of stream, kind of very similar to what Raven's doing over at Timeline Cleanse. So think of this as a conspiracy parapolitical version of what he's doing over there, which is more like he's more doing pee pee poo poo with maybe a touch of parapolitical conspiracy. I'm doing the inverse of that. I'm doing a parapolitical conspiracy with a touch of pee pee poo poo. But mostly for those, if this is your first time poking into a morning stream, essentially what I'm kind of going to be doing here is, like I said, this is kind of just my chill out with you guys. So I am talking to the chat, which I'm about to go through the chat in a second. Sorry, kind of went a long rant there. Then also kind of bringing up maybe certain articles that I've been meaning to read or thread. So this is kind of actually my time where I'm sort of, in a certain sense, doing like minor research. Obviously, I still read books and do other stuff on my own time. But this is something I can bring you guys along with me on. So like we say, we bring up a thread, someone mentioned the ARA bank robbers, that is on it. Richard Booth, my OKC bombing sensei, he had a good catch and we'll cover that. He did a thread on that, but this is kind of my opportunity. It's set every now and then. Yeah, sure. Some of these threads will be threads I've already worked my way through and, you know, I'm able to give like a better analysis. But point being is most of this stuff is gonna be stuff I haven't even read yet. Maybe I've just seen the headline. I'm like, shit, I want to check that out. And I'm just bringing you guys along with me. And then I do want to you guys know, you guys can suggest stuff. If you're on Twitter, tag me and stuff, you know, because I'm just kind of making a little bookmark file where I'm dropping all this shit. Or if you're on the Telegram, the Tower Gang Telegram, you can, you know, I have a little, there's a little slot in there. I think that there might be, I have a couple, that I can go at some point. I may not get to those today because I'm going to probably do one today, do one tomorrow, maybe one Thursday, this week. So, I mean, I don't want to use up all my content at once. So, just letting you guys know that is an option. I do have those already, you know, set up in the queue, ready to go to cover stuff that they suggested. So you guys can make some input in here. Yeah, so you know, whether it's social media, if you want to follow me at Tower Gang Jose, or if you're one of the Tower Gang guys. Now, if you're one of the people who's not a Tower Gang, like if you're one of my people and you do want to a way to suggest, obviously you can do it in Patreon if you're a supporter. I'm sure just any old post, you could probably add it to. Although I haven't really been doing posts for these. I need to figure out a way to give you guys a perk. Because I give you guys a perk for Already Dead. You guys are able to be a... you know, kind of be a talking head alongside us. And also for my normal No Way Jose episodes, you guys, you get about a week, you know, you'll be able to see that like a week or more before normals, the normies. But for these streams, I just haven't really been able to think of a way to give you guys some sort of advantage. I've just been kind of, I don't really know a way to, honestly, because of the nature of these is just kind of drop when I can. But I don't know. Maybe figure something out. If you guys think of a way, you know, patrons, if you or people out there, if you figure out a way that I can somehow, you know, give you guys some sort of perk, let me know. I mean, I don't know. I don't know. The idea that I'm going to make a post for these, like I do the other ones every single time, it doesn't seem to make sense for the nature of this. But I don't know. Maybe we can figure something out. But I'm just kind of letting you guys know where I'm at with these. Let's go through the chat a little bit, and then maybe we'll actually get into some of these topics here in a second. Ooh, boo, boo. I see everyone saying hi. She's doing better. Yeah, she's doing better. She's in the other room right now. Like I said, we're back home. She's sleeping. She's doing a lot better. Morning crew checking in, sir. Good morning. Kids are great, but man, are they work? Oh, for sure they are. Good morning from JC. Hi, everyone's saying hi to JC in the chat. You know, Alan's telling me that his sister had epilepsy, sometimes just roll of an eyes. Yeah, that's what I was kind of getting at earlier with the focals. That's kind of what I was alluding to. They're weird. System reboot. That's a good way to put it. I said, get the girl some benzos. Yeah, we got Valium. The Valium thing, though, is like an as needed, just so you guys know. Like, that's literally if you feel a seizure coming on, or if you're in the midst of one, or post seizure, that's what those are for. To kind of put your brain on, just kind of like, you know, mode, and then that's what that's for, essentially. Kind of chill out your brain before it keeps fucking wigging out. Sorry to hear, man. That's a rough weekend. Yeah, dude. Oh, guys, I will say, Brogrove, I do want to let you guys know, Brogrove was streamed on, I believe, Nephilim Death Squad's Rumble, but you had to be a member. So if you guys do want to pay up, I haven't been able to check out anything except for the Tower Gang, which the Tower Gang is already up on Tower Gang on their Rumble, so you can check that out. They did about an hour at Brogrove of Tower Gang, and I found it pretty enjoyable. I thought it was fun. It was pretty, made me a little bummed. It made me bummed to miss it out. I mean, I'll be honest. I was very bummed. I really wanted to go. I'll be frank. I didn't bum me out too much missing Georgia, the LP Georgia thing. It just wasn't really like my cup of tea entirely. I was just kind of like, okay, I mean, I'm not saying I like intentionally missed it or anything. I had shit going on. I would have gone otherwise, but it didn't really hurt my feelings much to miss that. This one, it fucking hurt my feelings. For those, just to give people an idea of the, you know, the format there, is they had two nights, Friday night, Saturday night, and Friday night was kind of like the conspiracy night. You had a Paranoid American doing, what was he doing? He was doing an Adrenochrome presentation. They did a Pizzagate podcast, like a conspiracy roundtable, which I believe was probably them just shooting the shit. I would assume that maybe Clint and Top probably hosted that and kind of went through different guests and just kind of, you know, just kind of talked to them kind of deal. Now, I would have loved to, like, this would have been, this is the conspiracy night, essentially. And I think there's another one after that that I'm forgetting. It might have been closed out with comedy again. I forget. Either way, the first night, conspiracy night, I was like, I was bummed. Because I was like, dude, that's so up my alley. Like, I don't know if I would have been able to get on the Pizzagate episode, but I could have killed it there. Like, for those who follow my channel, you know that so much of what I cover easily dovetails into that. Like it's a common thread, like, thing I always say in the shows. Like, you go a couple layers deep, and it's literally just lizard people trying to fuck your kids. Like, that's really... That's like kind of, you dig down deep enough, and that's kind of what it seems to always come back to. So that would have been I feel like I would have meshed there. Obviously, a conspiracy thing. So I was like, dude, night to shine. And then I would have been able to close it out the next day, Saturday night, comedy night. Like, that, it just would have been, I was very much looking forward to it. It looked like a lot of fun. And then on top of that, on Saturday during the day, the second day, there was, I believe it's called Suppressed Fest, which was, I guess, nearby. And our buddy, Lectern Leader, who I've had on the show before, he's actually given me a Lecty, one of his Lecty awards for my OKC bombing coverage, which I have up in behind me. You guys, if you look behind me, I think it might be the other side where I'm standing. Yeah, like this side. If you guys look behind me on my normal episodes, whether it's Already Dead or Tower Gang or a normal No Way Jose, you'll see the lectern behind me, a little mini lectern that he gave me, personally gave me for my Oakley. So that's probably one of the coolest things I've gotten at from this. I just want to throw that out there. Point being is one of my buddies, the lectern guy from January 6th, took all of Tower Gang out to go shoot over at the Suppress Fest. They shot machine guns and all sorts of stuff. So I missed out on a very good time, but it is a yearly thing. So I'm just, for those out there, I believe, I don't know if we're going to do the exact same date, how this is going to work, but keep an eye out for, that coming around again. Cause I don't know, high hopes for that. I think it's a cool idea. So, but anyways, let's keep going through the chat. Just wanted to let you guys know about Bro Grove a little bit. Yeah, second night, like I said, I believe it was like Revenge of the Sis, I believe, opened up the night. Then it was a Tower Gang episode. I forget what came after that, and then I think it was like a comedy. I know Leonardo Joni came, and she kind of was the main comedic act. For those who aren't aware, no slight at all to Leonardo. She's great. But, I mean, we also was initially when we were doing this, there was a very strong possibility that we were going to have Owen come. For some reason, he wasn't able to make that work. And then there was like a even more stronger possibility, like basically it was supposed to happen that we had Sam Tripoli on, come on, because it initially was his event. Last year there was a Bohemian Grove, and the first one was, a Sam Tripoli event. Now this set, so this was the second one. So we're going to keep on going with that. But it kind of worked out for Sam because he ended up on Joe Rogan, and the reason why we knew, when he said, "Oh, never mind, I can't do it," was because he was like my special. We didn't know that it was going to be special. Joe Rogan. What else? He went on Kill Tony, and then on top of that, the Joe Rogan going on Joe Rogan's great enough, but then to add to all of that, this dude went on Joe Rogan, and literally the following act after Sam was Donald Trump. So. Pretty fun, pretty interesting. I mean, I don't know if I will do a lot of, maybe you guys are out there itching for Donald Trump talk. I'll give you my quick take of it. Fun podcast. I enjoyed it. I watched the entire podcast. I'm not doing a full commentary on it right here. I just want to throw it out there. Great podcast. Still not voting. Interesting podcast. I find him to be an endearing human being, Donald Trump. I do. Still not voting. So cool. I mean, that was fun. I hope Kamala does it because, I don't know, it'd be hilarious to see how retarded she is. All right. Sorry to hear that, man. Somebody already said that. I'm using my GI Bill now for school. Yeah. I definitely do want to do that at some point. I know if anything, though, it's almost more or less just a money scam. Like, I have no real thing that I want to use a diploma for. Like, there's nothing in the world that I can think of that I want to do that I need a diploma for. Like, I'm not that kind of person. I don't know. Maybe I've thought about maybe being like a paramedic or something, but that'd be something later. I mean, maybe there might be some GI Bill that I could use for some things there. But yeah, I do want to use it at some point because it's like, for those who aren't aware, the military benefit of the GI Bill, all you have to do is do one enlistment and you get it. And there's two versions, but the one most people use, which I want to say it's a post 9/11, I forget which one it is, but the one most people use, you literally get paid what was the equivalent of an E5 or a staff sergeant in the Air Force, BAH, I believe, which is their housing allowance, which, to put that in perspective, I'm trying to recall, I want to say at one point in the military, I was receiving something like $2,700 a month just for my housing allowance, because essentially how it works in the military is you have base pay, and then you have differing allowances, like you have BAS, your something, base allowance for sustenance or something. That's like your food allowance. I believe that was for the longest time, like something like $350. They may have changed it for all I know. It was like $350 a month. So that's supposed to cover all your food bills. And then you had BAH, which was based on what zip code you were in. So that way it's like, cause yeah, if you really think it through, if you're in the military and you're stationed in California and someone else is stationed in Kansas, it wouldn't really be fair if you guys were getting paid exactly the same, even though you guys are doing exactly the same work. Cause it's like one person's a way higher cost of living. That's how they adjust for it. But just so you guys know, and like say here and like where I'm at, if I recall correctly, I believe at one point I was receiving like $2,700 a month for that. Oh, I think I left out. You also get your base pay, which is just your normal, whatever you get paid for that. So I was making roughly in the realm of like as a E6, with 11 years in the Air Force, I was making somewhere like around the realm of like 60 or 70K after taxes, give or take. And then I was getting, you know, something like 2,700 or I believe if I recall correctly, for my BAH. So essentially this allows you to, I would guess it's probably around 2,500 a month. So essentially they'll pay you 2,500 a month and cover your school. So that's a pretty good, that's pretty dope. So like for anyone out there that's a military guy, that is kind of a good way to kind of milk out a degree in whatever and get paid a pretty decent amount for it. So yeah, I mean, obviously that's not the same as like getting paid for, you know, probably not the same as like getting paid enough to live off of entirely, but that's a substantial amount for literally getting a degree. So pretty good. This is why a lot of people go for the school. All right, everyone, I got to see all these. Hope the wife's doing all right. Thoughts and prayers. Yeah, by the way, guys, don't ever feel ashamed to say like you're praying for me or anything. Not that I'm saying any of you guys do, because I always see a lot of people be like, I know you aren't religious, but blah, blah. I appreciate it. I'm not a Reddit atheist. I appreciate the love. I mean, I'm more of a, I'm very, what's I'm looking for? I'm not a guy who likes that sort of attention in a sense. So I guess in a certain way, I'm more like a guy, I'm more stoic. I don't really like talking about feelings or personal stuff. So, I mean, it is a little bit weird with people who know it, but I appreciate it. It's still a nice sentiment. I'm never going to be like, oh, why pray for me? Like, I don't, it's gay. I mean, it is nice that to see people, you know, saying nice, even if it's just a thought, like it is just like, hey, you know, you guys are thinking about me. That's nice. All right. I see my buddy Jules in here. Good morning, brother. Hope everything is okay with your lady. Like I said, she's doing all right now. She's just doing lots of sleep. Yeah, smoke weed. Yeah, I saw a lot of people bring that up. I do. I'll let you guys know. My wife was actually prescribed marijuana. And I think still is technically for a long period of time. And she was smoking it for a long period of time. It did seem to help a little bit, but we just didn't really care for it. Or she didn't really care for it. She never actually even smoked weed. I mean, she did smoke weed, but only like once or twice. She never liked it. She wasn't like a stoner until she got epilepsy. She started having seizures. And that's when she started doing that to kind of help with them. And just even during that, she never really cared for being like someone who was stoned all the time. It wasn't her shtick. So after a while, she's like, she stopped. She doesn't like it. Makes her, you know, gives her the munchies. And stuff like she just doesn't like the feeling of being stoned, feeling kind of, you know, kind of dumber, which I get. So, and that did help a little bit. I will say, cause I know a lot of people hate weed and like, will kind of like downplay its effects. It helped. I mean, obviously it's kind of hard to, you know, isolate what's the seizure meds, what's the THC, but we did notice a significant difference in like the amount, a noticeable difference in the amount, when there was weed or not. So. And I know a lot of people saying like, oh, you should try high CBD, blah, blah, blah. You're right. We should probably look into the CBD stuff because when my wife first started, she did try to go the CBD route. But this was when Florida first started doing the medicinal marijuana and they had so many weird regulations. And the CBD stuff that she was able to get, that like 20-to-1 stuff, the one that stuff's like super strong CBD, almost no THC, it was super expensive. And like there was only a certain, like a couple forms of it. And it was like, it was gross. So they just didn't really have great selection or options. Selection or options, same thing. I'm repeating myself. So I don't know. We should probably look into it again. I bet you, because a lot of the rules have loosened up. Like whenever Flora first started doing medicinal stuff, it was actually a giant pain in the ass for her to get her shit, her like, you know, medicinal license or whatever, even with being having epilepsy. Whereas now, from my understanding, I have buddies at work who like, or just buddies in general that just fucking, I don't know, I have headaches now and get it. Like, which is like kind of seems to be the nature of how this shit moves, is it like first starts and maybe in some places it's actually like a legit thing. And they're like, oh shit, you actually need it. Like my wife was that generation of pot smokers or legal pot smokers in Florida was, oh, you really, we actually really got to vet the fuck out of you and make sure you have shit. And even then we're going to make you forever. Wait, oh, like forever for this, for that. Now it's just like, yo, I have a headache. And they're like, come on in. So, and I guess they're voting on that this year. They might even just go straight up recreational, which I'm all for. You know, people should be able to just do this on their own. I shouldn't have to fucking, we know this shit seems to help. So why do I need a doctor to go, okay, you can do that. It's fucking stupid. I don't think I said the N-word, but I will. I don't care. Sending prayers to you and your family. Thank you, Andrew. Cash App? I don't know. Honestly, I believe my wife. I'm kind of, for those who haven't caught on or been paying attention to the show long enough, I'm very much like a tech boomer. I don't know my Cash App. I don't have a Cash App. I don't know my Venmo. Now, my wife does. So, could I tell you what it is? No. And we share our finances, so it's whatever. Topic suggestion: DMT/laser = matrix revealed. Yeah, I was watching a video about that. I was like, I can't tell if I'm being trolled. Like, what the fuck is this? It was ridiculous. Turner into JBP, Jordan Pearson. Yeah, not saying the Illuminati still exists, but at one time in history they were the good guys. That would be an interesting topic. I mean, maybe I'd have to get a deeper understanding of them to really go there. Good morning. You can get cannabidiol, well, that's a fucking weird word. I'm usually good at words. Prescribe, it's pretty good for seizures. Good morning, keep cool, avoid light disturbances. Yep, the old lady's just sleeping. But all right, yeah, I've gone through you guys' chat. Let's cover, I promised you guys this. I'm trying to think if there's anything I forgot real quick. No, I hit everything I want to. So thanks everyone for all the thoughts, prayers, you know. And I will say I've noticed a decent amount of you guys did actually decide to support. And since I put this out, I feel bad coming off like I'm e-begging. I'm just being straight up with you guys. If you guys don't want to pay, give money to the show, I completely understand it. Trust me. I'm strapped for cash, so I get it, but I'm just saying there's a lot of people who watch this show, a lot of people probably get value from it, and if you do, it's kind of like, hey, if you want to keep doing this, I mean, what is it to throw in $2? Which actually, you know, I need to start support. I've been meaning to get around to the finally fucking getting, say, supporting like somebody like Dave Smith. I know he's, support people out there, but I'm a bit of a poor, so I'll be honest, I don't support a lot of people. Because it also just seems kind of circular if I'm like, I need support, and then I'm using it. It's like, I don't know. I need to, though. There's some people I should, especially the ones that I do find value in, ones that I use regularly. I guess I wanted to take a second to say thank you, guys. Let's go ahead and get into this thread I was alluding to. Is Patreon, oh yeah, here we go. Is Patreon the best way to support? Currently, yes. I'm a tech boomer. This is easiest for me. You're right. Dave has enough money. But my reasoning why I mentioned him is because I do think he's probably doing some of the best work out there. He's doing really great stuff. I mean, he's really fucking good at what he does. We were talking shit about him on Tower Gang the other day, expecting. I mean, I actually was kind of like putting up from a little bit, I guess, while still kind of being open to the idea. But I don't remember what Top was saying, but he's talking shit, and then he said something about how he's started becoming more kvetchy. Like, kind of the way Jews talk, I guess. And I was like, I don't know. I think he's kind of always been this way. I don't think it's increased or anything. And we went back and watched the Part of the Problem, episode 1. And, like, we were expecting, like, an unsure, like, maybe not as well developed. But, like, dude, he still had it back then. I'm like, Jesus Christ. Like, I don't know. You see that someone who does this, what sort of does what he does, you're like, you do realize like how fucking good he is. You're like, Jesus Christ. Like, I'm just not that fucking eloquent or a good communicator as that. I do my best, but you know, it is what it is. All right, got some good morning. Shit, sorry I'm late. Yeah, Patreon currently is. If you guys are open to other ideas, let me know. I mean, at some point I do need to do other payment methods. I just don't have that many people to really, for it to be necessary. I don't make a ton of money off the show. You know, surprise, surprise. I make I probably make back like I make about a shift and a half, essentially, is the way I equate it. So like this, the show currently as it stands allows me to be able to like pull back like a shift and a half a month. So just that's the way I put it. And I mean, I invite more, you know, it'd be great if I can get to the point to where we can stay like this, to where I stay part-time, I'm able to continue to support my family in a good way, like the way I would like to, then that'd be cool. While still doing this, that'd be awesome. I'd like to get to a point, ideally, to where I'm streaming, you know, multiple times a week like this, also doing my normal episodes. And I'd like to get to a point to where, like, say I'm able to fund it to where I can dial back other shit even more, to where I can start, writing more often. I'd like to get back into writing. That'd be fun. I mean, you guys know, has been paying attention to the show, I did the, like, say, had that Kenneth Trenadue piece that I wrote forever ago. I would like to get back into that. It's just a matter of not having the time. There's definitely a lot of little, like, weird, research things I would like to write papers on. I just haven't had the time. But anyways, I feel like I've gone on enough. Let's actually get into some real content. All right, let's do it. Let's bring on... All right, Richard... All right, this is my buddy Richard Booth at OKC_facts. So this morning I finally figured out why the CIA pushed so goddamn hard in this bogus story that Terry Nichols met with Ramzi Youssef in the Philippines. All right, 1 second. All right. Now, for those who aren't aware, just a little bit of a deep cut. All right, I'll flesh out some of this real quick. Now, Terry Nichols, a lot of people refer to Timothy McVeigh, Oklahoma City bombing, as kind of being like a lone wolf. And this still stands with Terry Nichols because, but then a lot of people be like, well, it's not technically a lone wolf because Terry Nichols. All right. So here's how, even the official narrative, this is what it is Timothy McVeigh blew up, the Oklahoma City bombing, or not the Murrah Federal Building on April 19th, 1995. And he did it by himself. That's the official narrative. Obviously, you guys know I don't believe that. But, and he had some support, kind of earlier on from Terry Nichols, whether, you can debate to what degree or what he did or did not do, but generally kind of helping with the bomb making.
You earned a degree in the behavioral health field because you wanted to make a difference. And you're needed now more than ever. Through the new Great Minds Fellowship Program, recent Ohio graduates may be able to receive as much as $20,000 in student loan support when working full-time at a community behavioral health center. Apply before November 15th. To learn more about program eligibility, visit highered.ohio.gov. That's highered.ohio.gov.
Yeah, letting him live at his house, resources, blah, blah, blah. Really, Terry Nichols was kind of Timothy McVeigh's bitch, and it looked like that dude was scared shitless, that he was like his whole family was gonna die or some shit. Anyway, so that's Terry Nichols. Now, a lot of people with the Oklahoma City bombing attempt to make a Arab connection, and maybe there is something to that, and this is where that maybe comes from. This is Terry Nichols. At one point, prior to the Oklahoma City bombing, he actually went multiple times to the Philippines. He had a mail order bride from the Philippines, and that was kind of the excuse for going back and forth so many times. But it became a little bit fishy when he would go sometimes without her, because the reasoning would be like he was going to so she could visit her family. Or when he was in the process doing the ordering type stuff. There were times that she didn't go with him. A lot of different times. There's a lot of weird stuff. I mean, we're gonna go through some in this thread. I'm just trying to give you guys a little bit of a preamble before we get into it. A lot of people take these trips to Philippines and extrapolate from that he was meeting with Ramzi Youssef. Which I forget specifically. I want to say he was involved in the 93 World Trade Center. Might have had some connections to 9/11 as well. I forget. But essentially, terrorist. And he supposedly met him in the Philippines. Because he was operating out there at that time. Now, here's the thing. There's not a ton of evidence to support that other than just that he went to the Philippines. There were some rumors. I forget who it came from. But I believe it might have been, it was extrapolated, maybe under, it was like a confession type thing,
some other terrorist, and I'm sure we'll probably get into this, said that like they met with a farmer, or said there was some sort of farmer that met with these group of terrorists or something. And then so a lot of people go, farmer, Terry Nichols. I forget. I want to say that was like something that may even have been like kind of like brought out maybe out of torture or something. So it's like, to what do we even really buy this? Also, even if we think it's legit, it's like farmer, really? I don't know. Either way, a lot of people kind of take a lot of liberties. They kind of get a little bit illogical here. There's also people who think that John Doe 2 was like an Arab. There's other like, you know, Middle Eastern connections that people try to push, and they may have some credence to some level. I've never really seen one that I found to be all that convincing. It very much comes off as like over pattern connect, like recognition, to the point of where it's like you're trying to get me to see stuff that kind of isn't there. I know there was also, I'd like to bring up frequently, there was the remote viewers claimed that like there were Arabs, essentially the CIA's remote viewers. It's like, okay. It just seemed like this was an angle they're initially really trying to push, which hindsight 2020, this being the probably the deep event, the deep event prior to 9/11. This was literally 9/11 before 9/11, and we all know how 9/11 worked out. We killed millions of people over in the Middle East. So it is kind of like, it is a little weird seeing how there was this big push for this Middle Eastern connection in the Oklahoma City bombing. Now, that doesn't mean there wasn't a Middle Eastern connection. Maybe there was some. Maybe it was exaggerated, whatever. But it seemed to be this was really, really pushed by the CIA. This seemed to be what one angle they really wanted, and they went a different way. Then they went, oh, never mind, we're going white supremacist, patriot movement, blah, blah, blah. Okay, so that's the long and short of it. Yeah, I mean, now we're going to get into how there might be a little bit more to that, and maybe you shouldn't quite get that conclusion from this. Let me fix my mic real quick. It keeps sliding on me. I got a new stand, by the way, if you guys didn't notice. I know a lot of people made fun of me for holding it, but I got a cool new little stand here. So yeah, I dig it. Let me tighten some of these knobs so it doesn't keep just moving on me. All right, so this morning, finally, all right, we already said that one. It was more than just an opportunity to exploit the Oklahoma City bombing for foreign policy purposes to advance his neocon legend about all Islamic terrorism is connected. It was not just that at all. Most researchers on the subject have a real issue with TLN's excuses as to why he was in the Philippines, TLN, Terry Nichols, why he was in the Philippines so many times and his wife stayed here in the States. We all view this particular trip with skepticism. So when Nichols goes to the PI Philippines in the fall of 94, he has with him a couple stun guns he tries to take on the plane. He's terrified. His own son cried and told his dad at the airport, "I think I'm never going to see you again." We all ask, why was he so scared? Why did he try to bring defensive weapons with him? Then we find out that Nichols even left behind a note, "to be opened in the event of my death," stashed with like $30,000 in cash, left hidden for his ex-wife to open. She found it and opened it immediately. Found keys to storage lockers, money, a letter to send to McVeigh. What was effectively a last will and testament, giving his gold coins to his son, Josh. He thinks he might die, or so he thinks he might die. Well, this morning I found out in 2011, a PATCON operative said that Terry Nichols met with Jack Terrell in the Philippines. Yes, the Iran-Contra Jack Terrell. Now think about Roger Moore, who was also Iran-Contra. Are klaxons going off for you yet? Now, okay, just a little bit more quick and dirty of Roger Moore, because I'm not going to assume all of you guys know who he is. Roger Moore was the... how do I put this? You know, prior to the Oklahoma City bombing, he was on the gun show circuit with Timothy McVeigh. Now, to the extent to where they were like a team, essentially. Roger Moore and Timothy McVeigh, like he'd go around with them, sell guns with them on the gun show circuit. Now, Roger Moore was, you know, supposedly a millionaire, claimed he hated his job. Now, once you start digging into Roger Moore's background, you go, yo, what the fuck? What is up with this dude? He worked, what, for CMA, Civilian Material Assistance, which was a CIA cutout. I mean, there's lots of other weird stuff with his background. I mean, he was building boats. He was involved with Iran-Contra. Like, there's all sorts. And a lot of these stuff is, like, stuff that you can find documents on to confirm it. I mean, I'm not going to do a full-on thing on Roger Moore. These are just off the cuff. Dude glowed. I mean, he also, before the Oklahoma City bombing, he was robbed, quote unquote robbed. There's a lot to suggest, a lot to suggest it was completely a put on, so that way he gets the insurance money after, and then now these people that robbed him get the money. Now, who was the people who robbed him? Now, we don't know specifically who it was who robbed him. I believe Terry Nichols, I forget who specifically, essentially what people came to the conclusion was it was Terry Nichols that robbed him on behalf of Timothy McVeigh. There's even statements about Timothy McVeigh saying, oh, he'll be like a kitten, you can just blah, blah, blah. Now, there's even still contention of whether it was actually Terry Nichols or maybe one of the other, numerous supposed John Doe 2s. I don't know. Beside the point. Either way, Roger Moore got robbed. It was a complete put on. That money ended up with Timothy McVeigh and co, essentially. And now this was a substantial amount of money, a shitload of guns, precious metals, blah, blah. Now, this is money that's off the books. He gets his insurance money. Now there's his money that they can use for the Oklahoma City bombing. And then also later Roger Moore gets to be able to be seen as the victim, and he actually becomes someone who testifies against McVeigh later as his hapless victim of McVeigh, when it's very obvious when you start digging into this guy glows like the sun. He was an FBI informant, he was a CIA informant, there was dude glue. Like, what is going on with this guy? Why is he so close to the sphere of McVeigh? He is one of the characters who really, 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 in my opinion, gives credence to the theory that Timothy McVeigh was sheep-dipped. Because it's like, this guy is hanging around his orbit, kind of seems like a handler. Is he? I don't know. Was Timothy McVeigh just some, country bumpkin that Roger Moore saw as an opportunity? I don't know. Either way, I'm like damn near convinced Roger Moore is a glowy. So, this dude, sold explosives to ATF agents and didn't get busted for it. And there were numerous other times we did similar things and didn't get busted. It's, beyond bizarre, the level of degree this dude glue. Now, if you really want to deep dive in that, go check out my Oklahoma City bombing series. I forget which episode it is. I put in the beginning in the video descriptions, for those, what they're about. So, I think we did, a whole episode on Roger Moore. It's insane. So either way, there you go. Now, this guy had Iran-Contra connections, so, and now you have Terry Nichols meeting with this guy who was Iran-Contra. All right. Whew. All right, and this connects to the PatCon stuff. That's another deep dive, which we covered in our series. PatCon was an FBI operation run during this period of time in the, kind of late 80s, early 90s, that was essentially kind of COINTELPRO, but for the right wing. Where they were kind of infiltrating right-wing groups. So, and this is stuff that came out. There are confirmed records of it. This isn't schizo, fucking speculation shit. No, PatCon really existed, and there were PatCon operatives. Was it John Matthews is one of them, and that was somebody who, he was the one kind of blew the whistle on it after the fact. So, all right. Now, Jack Terrell was tied to civilian material assistance, as was Roger Moore. Now, Terry Nichols' trip begins to make sense. We can see his actions within the same nexus as McVeigh's, so finally it makes sense, when before it made no sense at all. What was going on in the Philippines in 1994? And why are the two primary suspects in what is ostensibly just lone wolf domestic terrorism tied directly to CIA operatives who were connected to domestic militia groups, CMA and TLI both? I forget which one TLI is. Did I already say it? Did we already read that? All right, whatever. Sorry. CIA connected, also both PatCon targets. There is something here. Oh, Texas Light Infantry. Yes, I forgot about that. TLI, that Texas Light Infantry. I'm assuming they're saying that Jack Terrell was connected to Texas Light Infantry. Now, I will tell you, Andreas Strassmeyer, he's also connected to Texas Light Infantry. And I don't remember if Moore had any connection to that or not. I don't remember ever seeing that. But now Strassmeyer, who's this other character who glows like the sun, who very much comes up often in any sort of OKC bombing lore. Strassmeyer is another character who glue a lot, and he essentially, that was one of the first places he went to when he came to the States from Germany, is over to Texas Light Infantry to be there. He ended up getting kicked out of Texas Light Infantry because they thought he was a Fed, which ironically, the person who ran Texas Light Infantry was likely a Fed. That was... damn it. I know Petruski then was the first guy. Damn it, that really bugs me. I can't think of the guy who ran TLI. Holloway. Dave Holloway. There we go. Yep. that was who Strassmeyer was living with for a while after Strassmeyer was with another guy named Petruski, who was also a CIA operative. See what I mean? Once you start digging into this stuff, you're like, holy shit. And now this McVeigh, okay, I'm going to keep spinning off. Let's stay on it. I'm going to get off track if I keep going on the different connections of here. But all right, I'm getting myself back on track. I should correct myself and say that I didn't figure out anything. This more or less just fell in my lap. But once I saw the detail, it was like my world halted abruptly. I said, what? Jack Terrell? Why haven't I heard this before? He had this over 10 years ago? The folks who were handling this PatGon guy's story likely just didn't know the significance. It's just a name, a couple of lines among some notes of phone calls, but for those who know who Terrell is, that should have caused major alarm bells. The CIA tried to use the media to discredit Terrell in the 80s because he was testifying about their cocaine and arms trafficking. When you Google simply Jack Terrell, the first result is a CIA.gov link to a story saying he made everything up. He didn't. From the source, a notebook. Jack Terrell... Tourette, I'm assuming that was like he's saying that like they probably fucked up when they put it in the notebook. He's quoting it. Former CIA in Central America and in Philippines when TLN was there. And then later, Jack Terrell spent time in Philippines with TLN, ran with John Hall, had a long, ranch in Costa Rica. All right, yeah. So that's that. Let's pop in with you guys, see what you guys have to think about that. Yeah, that was a really, really good catch by Richard. Like, oh shit. Like I mean, apparently this information has been out here and he just noticed that. So all right, let's go back through these. Good morning, friends. Read your Rumble super chats. Oh, I have a super chat. I'm sorry. Let me go check over there at the super. I'll go over to there real quick. See what you guys have to say. There was a super chat there. I am super fucking sorry, guys. But the problem is I use StreamYard, and on StreamYard, it doesn't show you this shit, if that makes sense. So let me see. I'm going to the live chat now. Wait, let me see the live chat. What the fuck? I might have to do it on my phone. Damn it. Weird. Oh, no, never mind. It's over here. Okay, here we go. Soul Explorer coaching for $3. I never know what to say in these situations, so I generated a random sentence. It isn't true that my mattress is made of cotton candy. All right, that's interesting. Yeah, no, the problem is with StreamYard, which I'm usually looking at StreamYard when I'm doing these, is that it doesn't show me. It'll show me YouTube Super Chats, but it won't show me Rumble. So I have to actually physically go to Rumble. I'll have to remember to keep doing that. But yeah, no, I appreciate the $3. So you guys can support there too if you want. You can drop money in the super chat. I will be keeping an eye on that. Because that way, yeah, that's a perk I can use. That's a way I can incentivize giving money, I guess. Yeah, I'll keep an eye on that. I'll keep an open tab and then like poke over there occasionally to check and if you guys dropped any super chats. But generally, I'll still be looking at the YouTube. But I appreciate you guys. Appreciate all you Rumble homies out there. Good morning, Jose from Xerox. Good morning from Beak. What I don't know. Do you think they swept the vans at the bomb site? Oh, swapped the vans at the bomb site. That is an interesting theory. Yes, I do like that theory. I think that there's a good chance. I don't know enough because there's a lot of different ways it could play out. But it looks like, it really looks like the vans did get swapped. So I don't know. To give people who don't know what we're talking about here. Is when it comes to the Oklahoma City bombing. Obviously, this thing was a truck bomb, is what the official narrative is. There was a truck, and there was almost certainly some sort of bomb in there. Now, the real question begins, was that what did all the damage? That's an aside. Now, we'll set that aside. We're talking about the truck bomb itself. Now, there are theories that there were two truck bombs. There's a lot to back this up. I'm not really good at giving it off the cuff. I'm not sure if we covered this in series. Maybe we did, maybe we didn't. The two truck theory, which, I believe it seems pretty damn conclusive from the digging I've done. I could be wrong. But I can't give you any off the cuff, examples of how we know, aside from, I believe is, statements here and there about like getting different size ones, blah, blah, blah. A lot of people theorize that like, yes, they got one, realized it wasn't big enough and they got another one. Now, what some people theorize, which I find to be a fun theory and makes a lot of sense is that, how this went so bad, You know, obviously there's differing levels here. You guys who follow me long enough know I am kind of the persuasion that to some extent this was an intentional false flag by some entity within this. You know, so essentially I do kind of lean towards the idea that, you know, McVay was some sort of operative, although he doesn't necessarily have to be, because even if he's not, I already pointed out how Roger Moore is still hanging out in this guy's orbit. So he could have been just kind of like pushing him one way or the other. But there also were definitely like FBI and ATF and there were lots of just different agencies that, and I'm not saying they were working together. I'm saying that there were lots of different agencies that were involved here, and they may or may not be working together. Now, what I think may or may not have happened is that some sort of entity, say, let's say, for example, some sort of CIA black ops type group infiltrated an other op currently going on. So you have CIA, Gladio, whatever, infiltrates PatCon, which was an infiltration group, and then they cause something to go live when it wasn't necessarily supposed to. And then now, how does this work out for this small contingency within this other op? They get to walk away and just like they were never there, as long as they disappear and they leave, you know, PatCon, the FBI, with a big old shit in their lap and making them have to clean it up. That's kind of the impression you get when you look at how the cover up was implemented in the Oklahoma City bombing. Looks very sloppy. So that seems to make sense to me. But now, the point being is with the swapping the vans, is the idea is that there's those who theorize that typically with a sting, like, because there are a lot of, like, you know, testimonies or different things that suggest that the idea is that the truck was supposed to pull up to the building and then essentially it was supposed to be stopped. I know some people theorize it was like John Doe 2. It was the individual who was supposed to stop the bombing. And there's also a lot to suggest it was supposed to be over at the courthouse as opposed to the Murrah Feldor building. But now the idea was that then John Doe 2 or somebody was supposed to somehow stop from happening, or it was inert or whatever. And so then they go, haha, we got you. And now they have this cool sting where it's like, look, here's this big truck bomb and we stopped this huge big op and blah, blah, blah. And they get to look super cool. But what ended up happening, you know, under this theory is that instead the vans got swapped, and in the one van, the original van, is there was some sort of tracker, and so they swapped vans for that reason. And then now you have them going on this goose chase for this other one that they were supposed to be like, oh shit, this thing's supposed to be over at the fucking courthouse at whatever time, which there was fucking bomb squads in the middle of the night at the federal courthouse. They're like documented people saying this, so it makes a lot of sense. And now you send them on this wild goose chase for this other van that doesn't even have been being the van. Now the real van, or the decoy van, whatever you want to consider it, ends up pulling up to the Murrah Federal building and kaboom. And then now you have this whole op with this pie on their face, and it's like, oh shit. And now they have to real quick fucking do, you know, pull it together and pull off some sort of cover up. Now, this makes a lot of things make sense. You know, the sloppy FBI cover-up, the ATF, too. Like, if you, especially day of, like, ATF not being there, the ATF in, like, some of the goofy, insanely goofy things that happened the day of. Like, say, for example, the elevator story. You know, they're constant changing stories. But you got to think, like, if they were not anticipating this, they're having to do this on the fly. So this makes sense. Like, you would think, like, don't get me wrong, I do think government is generally kind of inept. So, like, it's not that crazy they would have awful fucking cover-up, but, like, the degree of retarded that some things were, you're like, there's no way you planned this. So, but now, like, if you look at a higher level, you're like, but now these people could have, and they could have just not given a shit how it made the ATF, FBI, whatever look, and they just fucking were out. Like, so that's kind of what it looks like. And you can even accept that, like, you don't even have to go full-on kook, like, it was some sort of, you know, op within an op or whatever. You can just think it was, like, the, you know, Yahoo, redneck, you know, white supremacist, whatever the fucks, you know, you had this whole, you know, these chuckleheads wanted to do this, and they somehow caught on to the fact that, like, they've been infiltrated by whatever, and they said, oh, we're going to make this go live and make them look really fucking stupid. Maybe that's what they did. I don't know. All right. Good morning, my fellow feds. Funny, Kamala has commercials about how she funded the first transgender surgery for a prisoner. Guess who that prisoner is? Yeah, no, that's funny. That's literally Kevin Langan. Or if, I always forget it's Kevin or Peter is his first name. Because they always include both for some reason, but one's his middle. I want to say it's Kevin. But yeah, no, it's that's who was the, you know, kind of the head of the Aryan Republican Army, which is very much suggested to be the group that helped McVeigh carry out his plans. Which funny aside about the ARA is there was an email between John Matthews and I want to say it's Don Jarrett, I think. Don't quote me on that. Where Don was asking him, I believe it was actually about TLI, maybe it was another group, and he said something about how, like, oh, that was clearly like a PatCon op or PatCon, you know, PatCon infiltrated or whatever. I forget the specifics. And, you know, and he said something, you know, I believe Don Jarrett, you know, confirms, yes. And he said, so I believe he said something about the ARA. He's like, well, what about the ARA? And he goes like, yeah, them too, or something along those lines. I forget the specifics. I'd have to find it, the document somewhere. The thing of their email back and forth, but it is kind of wild. You're like, you have Don Jarrett straight up saying or heavily implying, I forget how it was phrased, that the ARA was also some sort of FBI or some sort of PatCon infiltrated group. And you're like, which is weird because I'm reading Bad Company right now, which goes a lot into it. And I'm about like over halfway through and I'm not really seeing, I mean, there's a lot of weird, glowy stuff in there, but I'm not seeing where I'm like, oh, shit, like some sort of direct infiltration. But there's so many characters. It is interesting. It's a fun little mystery in a certain sense. But anyways, let's keep moving. Hello, friend. Hello. Good morning. Oh, we got Tyler here. As in McVeigh was there first, another van pulled, and McVeigh left in his van, and the other van blew up. What do you mean by that? No, I just explained that. No, not that. Hope the old lady's doing well. Thank you. Pop out chat on Rumble. Yeah, it seemed like even the explosion shocked McVeigh by how big it is. Yeah, no, that's another side where it's like, was there a C4 in the building? Yeah. I still don't understand the no license plate thing. You would think that would be like the most common sense thing to check in a car before you commit a crime. Yeah, for those who aren't aware, Timothy McVeigh, after the fact, how he got busted is he was, I don't want to say it was like 5, 10, maybe 20 miles, something like that, outside of Oklahoma City. He was driving around, and he had no fucking license plate, and he was carrying illegally a gun, and a cop pulled him over, you know, for the no license plate, and then he, I believe McVeigh was kind of like, I have a gun on me, and then he got taken into custody. And it took them a while to figure out it was even him, you know, but he was already in custody by the time they, you know, they figured it out. So, but it was very bizarre. Yeah, it is one of those things that later you're like, this feels weird. Like, why would you have no license plate? I've heard different theories on that, on why. Like, people saying it's like some sort of drop car. Or, I mean, there's other ways to explain it too, to where like something could have gone off plan. Like, say, you know, the John Doe 2 aspect of this. Like, was John Doe 2 supposed to pick him up somewhere or drop the ball or whatever, and now he's stuck with this, like, drop car? Especially because in that car, there was a lot of stuff in there that almost seemed like planted propaganda. And I don't mean that in, like, a spook way. More of like a, which, like, the ARA had a history of doing similar type things. But the idea of, like, leaving stuff to kind of, like, a calling card, and but that with nothing that really completely, you know, went back to them. Because there was a lot, I forget the specifics on what was in the car. There was weird literature, maybe Turner Diaries, different stuff that seemed like it was almost planted to kind of be like to somewhat take credit for it. So I don't know if maybe that was supposed to be the drop car that was kept closer, that way expecting they'd find it later. I don't know. Either way, it is one of the most bizarre things about it is that the fucking, the dude who blew up the Oklahoma City bombing got busted because he was dumb enough to be in a car with no license plate and then tell the cop that he was carrying illegally on top of all that. Is bizarre. I'll give it that. I don't know. All right. Let's see. We're at about an hour and eight. Jeez, I've talked way too much about myself today. Let me see. What else do we got? Let me see. I got a few in here. Let's see. What do I want to cover here? I got a lot of Diddy stuff, but I have multiple, so I don't know if I mean, maybe make tomorrow all Diddy, a Diddy day. I don't know. Diddle Yourself Wednesday. I don't know what we can call it, but because I got like three different weird Diddy tangents, a lot of them dovetailing off our last episode where we talked about the Abercrombie and Fitch connection, with you know, or not connection. I don't know if there's necessarily a Diddy connection. Well, I guess this one, one of these ones does kind of make it. But let's I have been promised you guys the Christopher Columbus one, but I don't want to stick around that long. Let's do one more. Let me see. This is what we'll do. All right. I'll do one article. So we did one thread, one article, me bitching about my situation a lot. All right, let's here we go. Now, this isn't even Ken Silva. I actually assumed it was going to be. So this is contributing author, whoever that is. So I don't know. But either way, this headline caught my eye. I assumed it would be Ken. Florida sues DOJ for obstructing state investigation of second Trump assassination attempt. Headline USA, Florida sued the Biden administration's Justice Department this week for allegedly blocking the state's investigation into the second assassination attempt against former President Donald Trump. Florida Attorney General Ashley Moody said the DOJ has frustrated the state's effort to get to the bottom of the assassination attempt at every turn. The lawsuit filed on Wednesday in federal court accuses the DOJ of preventing Florida officials from interviewing witnesses, pursuing state-level charges against the attempted assassin, Ryan Routh, and conducting their own parallel probe. The DOJ may be withholding mass amounts of evidence. According to a recent federal court filing, investigators have amassed some 10 terabytes of evidence in Rouse's case. Oh, that's weird. This isn't Ken, but yet then they use Ken Singh. All right, whatever. That's cool. Yeah, all right. But yeah, they shared a, for those who are listening, they, in this article, they shared a tweet from our buddy, friend of the show, Ken Silva, and they shared one of his posts talking about the 10 terabytes thing, about how they have 10 terabytes of evidence but are withholding. Every day that Florida is prevented from investigating the state's cases, the state's case becomes harder to prove at trial. Documents read. The assassination attempt took place at Trump's West Palm Beach golf course in September. Secret Service agents opened fire on Routh, who had been hiding in shrubbery near the course. He was later apprehended as facing multiple federal charges. The attempted assassination on the former president is a heinous act, Attorney General Merrick Garland said at the time. I am grateful that he is safe, and as I said, immediately after the event, the Justice Department will spare no resource to ensure accountability. However, Moody said the DOJ has been deliberately withholding resources from Florida. Governor Ron DeSantis was very clear he wanted Florida to move forward with an independent investigation of state crimes, working with the federal government, of course, but he felt that it was in the best interest of the state, our sovereignty, and for the American people, as there are concerns that the same federal agencies investigating the assassination attempt are the ones that are seeking to go after and prosecute the president, the victim in this case, Moody told Fox News. Instead of working with Florida, the Justice Department has gone so far as to threaten suspending state jurisdiction, which would indefinitely put our investigation on hold, she explained. We don't believe the law supports that. Well, that's cool. I'm pretty appreciative of my state of Florida for being like this, so that's cool. Yeah, slippery Wednesday, somebody said. By the way, while I still have you guys here, I'll probably cut this one a little bit early. I forgot to do a Old in the Dough ad. We'll do that in a second. But I did want to kind of read. Let me know, guys. Do you guys like the morning stream? Obviously, if you like the stream itself, let me know. If you guys like these, if you have any constructive criticism about the format, if there's something else you'd want, whatever. But I was more meaning the name itself. I like the name because it just gets to the heart of it. But it is kind of boring. Morning stream. I don't know. I mean, someone they have in the Tower Gang Telegram, they have morning shit, which I like, but I can't put shit in the title on a YouTube thing, and it's a little too crass. I like it in a certain way, but I think morning stream kind of gets to it. You guys know what this is. It's more like sounds more relaxed, a morning stream. You guys are just joining me for a stream. Nothing too serious. Jose in the morning. That's not bad. That's not bad at all. Jose in the morning. No way, Jose. Jose in the morning. Okay, yeah, I kind of like that. I might have to use that one, because that kind of also. Because the problem is, I'm really trying to quickly and succinctly, or I guess succinctly is quickly, but I'm trying to succinctly express to you that this is like what this is. It's a morning stream. It's chill. It's just a stream. You're hanging out with me, guys. It's in the morning, so you kind of get an idea of, kind of what the vibe is. I feel like morning's a little bit more relaxed. You guys are hanging out with me. Morning dump. Ooh, I like that. I don't know how I didn't think of that. All right. Okay, fucking love morning streams. Appreciate it. Morning dump is a winner. That actually really does. That's really good. Morning dump. That's really good. I mean, Jose in the Morning has that like radio sound. Jose in the Morning. So I like that. But Morning Dump, that really, and it is like a dump because it is like, I'm literally just kind of, it is like the morning when you're sitting on the shitter and you're kind of like maybe looking around on Twitter. You're like, oh, look at this thread or maybe you skim an article real quick. That's kind of what we're doing here. I mean, a little bit more in depth, but like, yeah, this is a morning dump. I'm dumping articles and threads on you. I like it. And it has a reverence. Oh yeah, I like it. Yeah. Hey, I didn't win Cocktober, but it's a fair second prize. Oh yeah, it was Marshall Banana with a sweet cock who won Cocktober this year. I recommend go checking that out over at Tower Gang Rumble. I don't believe it's up on YouTube. Maybe it is. I'm not sure. But yeah, they did the winner of Cocktober there. Good job, old fashioned. Yeah. Nah, that's good. Morning dump. All right, guys. I think that might be it. I think this is morning streams might be morning dumps. But yeah, please keep supporting these. Keep showing up. Keep talking to me. I like these. I get to talk to you guys. It's fun. Let me know your guys' thoughts about whether you guys want this to be like a just like only on Rumble and YouTube, or do you like seeing these on the podcatchers? Because I don't know. I just feel like maybe this isn't as great, just like audio listening. I mean, it's kind of like a stream of consciousness. It's more of a stream. But yeah, before we go ahead and get out of here, I do want to let you guys know. I guess give you guys the last couple of seconds to drop some chats, maybe questions, whatever. If you guys have something else in there, I'll stick around a little bit longer. But I have do want to remind you guys that this episode is brought to you by Nado Shave Co. You can get that over at nadoshaveco.com. I really do dig these guys. I mean, this is freedom shaving right here. These are COVID. This literally was born out of refusing the COVID mandates. Old Nado here, he got booted from the military. And as a way to kind of rebound, he took up entrepreneurialism and has this sweet product, which honestly is better than this crap you get at the store. Like, say, like the Fusion Blades example I always use was multi-blade, 2, 3, 4 blades and a thing. This is one blade, and it's superior, and it's cheaper. It's a better shave. It's a softer shave. Like you're like literally like I shave into this and it's like baby smooth. It's also like it lasts a lot longer. You get 100 blades for $75 so that's for the year plus the blade the handle itself. And so I mean these last each blade lasts multiple shaves, so like let's say 3 shaves, that's 300 days of shaving for $75. And let's be real, you're not going to shave, I mean if you shave every single day though, you might want to consider the Quarter Shave Club. That puts you about 25 cents per shave. But even just a $75 one, it's like, dude, they say a year, but it's like who really shaves 300 days out of the year unless you're someone who shaves every single day. So like, let's be real. You can make that last longer. We're talking like shaving for $75 for probably, let's be real, a couple years. And like, what do you do pay for those multi-blade cartridges? You probably pay like $30 for the pack of 3 or 4 or whatever. That might even be being conservative. I haven't bought those in a while, and this was probably I'm recalling like pre big time inflation. So I don't know what these are running you these days, but I would assume like within a year you're probably easily spending well over $100 for an actual year or less with those multi-blade ones, and you don't get as good a shave. So you need to use Jose at checkout for nadoshaveco.com. Let them know I sent you. They are the way to go if you're going to shave. All right, guys, let's check the chat, and then we'll get on out of here. Amazing, we missed you on the TG stream, Jose. Yeah, I was bummed not to be there. I like the laid-back vibe. It isn't like drinking from a fire hose. Yeah, see, there you go. Yeah, I'm just chilling with y'all. Cup of Jose, morning Jose. I knew a lieutenant who called the first shit of the first shit of the dam, his morning glory. I think he means first shit of the day is morning glory. Okay. I think we're really going on with I'm having a brain fart here. I think we're going with morning dump. I'm really digging morning dump. I mean, I like these ones with Cup of Jose, morning Jose. I mean, I'm a little bit conceited there because you throw Jose in it, but morning dump, I think I already have No Way Jose in the name, so I don't need to overdo that. But I'm literally shaving one with one right now, including my legs. Jesus Christ, dude. Have some dignity. Raven and Top are already dead tonight, right? I don't know. I will say for Already Dead Tonight, I did reach out to Top Lobster. So if you are on Twitter and you want Top Lobster, if you want Top Lobster on the show, holler at him and tell him go on Already Dead. But because I did hit him up, and he said he'd get back to me. So he hasn't got back to me yet. So I don't know. Probably there's a chance Top Lobster might join tonight. Maybe, maybe not. It may just be a normal episode tonight. So if you want Top Lobster on, hassle him. He said he'd get back to me. He just hasn't yet. So I don't know. He maybe will, maybe won't. I'd like to have Top on so I can just kind of talk about, how the weekend went and stuff like that. Because I'm really looking forward to cutting up with the boys. I didn't want to have to wait till Wednesday. So that's why I invited him on. So we'll see. He might not be able to because that's when he normally goes to bed. So it is what it is. The truth with Jose, it's a little too conceited. That's a little too much. Don't expect the truth from me. I'm just doing my best. And definitely look into that shit on your own. All right, let's get on out of here, guys. I do want to let you guys know, if you do want to support the show, you can do that over at patreon.com/NoWayJose2020. The lowest level, that's $2. That $2 gives you the early content. It also allows you to be a talking head on Already Dead with me and Austin. I need to figure out a perk for you guys for this. But you guys let me know what your thoughts are about that. But I do my highest level on Patreon. I do read them off every episode. Just, give them a shout out. Appreciate to show how much I appreciate them. I have my co-host on Tower Gang at Tower Gang Toad. I have at Abrogate D's. I have at @ZOVERACK. Then I have @_ZEAL. Then Jacob Daniel of the Biblical Anarchy podcast. Follow him at Biblical Anarchy. Then Tim Tuttle at Jelani on Klebold. He's who I get a lot of these dope edits from. Then I have Will Bell, who has this delicious blueberry rabbit eye wine. And then a big fan of the show, at Real Josh Elliott. I do want to say thank you, guys. I appreciate you guys supporting me, helping me get through times like these to be able to do what I do. I mean, if no one was paying, maybe I'd still be doing it. I mean, I guess if no one was paying, I'll be honest, I wouldn't still be doing this because I'd have to, at the very least, be able to cover expenses. Not that there's much expenses for this. As time goes on, I've upgraded, obviously, and I kind of look at this as coming out of that. So this literally the stand I'm using right now for the mic, literally the StreamYard subscription. So yeah, if I was making nothing, it'd be like, I gotta at least make my money back. I wouldn't be doing it. But now, let's say I was even a wash, maybe I'd still do it. Probably not. I enjoy this, but not enough to do it all the time for absolutely no reason to just shout into the ether for a handful of people. I don't know, but I wouldn't need much. I will tell you that. So I would keep doing it to some extent. If you guys want to see more of this, you know what to do. You got old Jules here. Say, I'll see you tonight. All right. I'm rambling now. I just want to let you guys know I'm appreciative. You guys make it so I'm able to do what I'll do. And to some extent, the show would be different if it didn't have support. It just would. I wouldn't be able to prioritize it to the degree in my life like I do. Not that I'm saying it is a top priority, but you know what I mean. If I was getting no money from this, my wife would very much get way sicker of this. But because we're getting some income of it, my wife doesn't give me shit about it. So it's hey, we're making some money. She knows I make money off this. So it's leave them alone, whatever. Let them do that every now and then. But if I was not making any money of this, and this isn't in any way at all infringed upon time with her or my family, or anything I could be doing that benefits my family more, it would be it makes it a harder equation. And now it's just shooting the shit with you guys has made it so that it is beneficial to my family. So I appreciate it. And the fact that I have supporters keeps me from being, let's say I even was big, but I didn't have supporters like you guys, that would mean I'd be dealing with fucking big old sponsors or something. And they'd be owning me to some extent. I mean, not literally owning me, but maybe I may be not as likely to say this or say that. So it's people like you that may help me be able to do what I do. I'm not at all implying that Ado controls me in any way, shape or form. But I definitely, it's better to have a good amount of support from people like you, the little guys. That way, it's not large chunks of money from some other, entity. So obviously Nadeau's cool. So it's a little bit different. So, but appreciate it. Yeah. My wife said the same. Everybody keep the wives happy by donating. Yeah. If you get any enjoyment out of Grey Pilled, if you watch that show, highly recommend checking it out. If you're into Anunnaki, more occult stuff, that type of stuff. He talked about a lot of shit like that, has guests like click that on. So go check that out. And if that's something you like, support it. But yeah, let's get out of here. Follow me on Twitter at Tower Gang Jose. Like, share, subscribe. If you don't want to give me money, what you can do is you can do those. You can like, share, subscribe, watch the show, tell other people about it, you know, make clips, stuff like that. If you tag me in something on Twitter that's in any way promoting my show, if it's a cool thing or whatever, generally speaking, I'm going to retweet it. Unless it's got some sort of weird message in it that I don't really understand or definitely don't support, I'll generally boost it to some degree. But with that, we'll get out of here. Love you guys. Hugs and kisses, bitches. Bye-bye.
Did you know that in Ohio, the state Supreme Court could just ignore the reproductive rights amendment we passed last year?
But so many Ohioans voted for it.
That's why we need to keep extremists out of the court by voting for Justices Donnelly, Stewart, and Forbes.
I don't know if I can remember that.
Here's the trick. Just remember, don't stop fighting. DSF. Donnelly, Stewart, and Forbes. If you supported Issue 1 last year, don't stop fighting. Vote for Donnelly, Stewart, and Forbes.
This message was paid for by Red, Wine, and Blue.